So the beginning code is 245, and that's 245. And please listen for the end code at the end of the call, and I will give that. And that way the people who are listening that were unable to attend can send those codes, and just helps hold them accountable that they have listened to the session.
Are you recording the session now?
Yes, and thank you for asking that, too. Yeah, you know what, I almost think I'll, no, I won't do that. Yeah, it's red, so I think we're fine.
Great.
Yeah, thank you. That's another thing I mess up. I'm not good in these details. So we are going to be talking about inventories and activities today and how to use them in the career exploration process. But before I dive into that, I wanted to call your attention to the fact that on page 14 of the training material, I've added something that will support you in what we were working on last time, which was asking questions and interviewing at the beginning of the engagement to uncover criteria and possibilities. And so what I've created is some examples of how to tease out career possibilities. You know, if it comes back on their QRC or on any of the other inventories, or they come back and say, you know, they want to be a teacher, you can see that this helps you to tease out that there's other things that use those skills, like, say, sales trainer or owning a music studio or being a conductor and even being a manager, where they can utilize the spirit of that, but it's not exactly that job. And so I feel it's our role as the career coach to offer ideas and help them brainstorm and tease it out. And part of what you're doing is offering ideas, and part of what you're doing is saying, does this help you think of any other possibilities, or what else can you think of? So it's a kind of a back and forth. The examples I've given here tease out from career, from job, and then I've got even industry, like the entertainment industry, if they have an interest in that industry, there's lots of different jobs that they could do in that industry. And then I've even got some examples here of criteria. Say they want to be in leadership. It gives some examples there and some other interests and then some values. So hopefully that'll get you thinking in that way. And I'm also encouraging you to do some reading from the links on the website off the career exploration page and just get yourself versed in different careers. You can look at the top 100 careers, or you can look at the best paying careers, and that'll start getting more careers in your mind. So any questions on that? Okay, then I will go forward. Oh, did I hear a question start to emerge?
No, I was just agreeing. It all sounds great.
Okay, perfect. So the other thing I wanted to show you really quickly is on the Glacier Point Solutions website, there are associate coach pages. So once you log in, if you click on associate coach pages, it'll take you to this area that has resources. I'm going to continue to be putting more and more resources up here. The contact information for your fellow associates is here, and we will be putting more information up here. There are career exploration resources, and in this case right now, the training guide, as I update it, will be put here. And then this is the link to the trainings that we've already done, and the next trainings will be put there as well. So just wanted to make sure you guys were aware of that. So the inventories we're going to go over are the Values in Action Survey of Character Strengths, which is where we're going to end up spending most of our time today. And then we're going to talk about how to use the QRC or the MBTI Myers-Briggs. We'll also talk about how to use the Desired Work Characteristics Inventory, the Learning Style Inventory, and then hopefully we'll have time to talk about a few activities, the Barnes & Noble, the Ask Your Friends, another inventory, the Holland Racic, which is that old one that we used to take in high school. And then I do have a podcast here on reinventing your career, and that's a podcast where I was interviewed by my friend Dave Stachowiak. And so you may want to suggest, if they're a podcast listener, to download that and listen to that. So when you're coaching a client and it's time for them to do the inventories, what you're going to do is take them to the Donna Schilder website. You're going to have them log in at the top right. And if they are logged in, it's going to say welcome and their first name. If they're not logged in, it'll say sign in. And the other thing you want to call their attention to is this button, which will take them to the client pages. So if they get off on another page, they can always click on this button, and it'll take them back to this page that is the list of client pages. Today, we're going to be taking them to the career exploration section. So you would just click on career exploration and tell them to do the same thing, and it will take them to the page. And this is basically the whole career exploration process in order the way you do it. What I've also done here is I've, and by the way, can you guys hear me okay? Is everything, is it sounding okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Just double checking. There is a checklist here that will help them see how they're moving through the process and make sure that they're doing all the steps. And right now I'm putting a new one up, so I'm going to just show you on my Word document that there is this career exploration checklist. And the first part here is those top four inventories that are the ones that I highly suggest that they utilize in their career exploration. But also we've got the activities, we've got the career lists, we've got checklists for research, checklists for the career matrix, and more additional research, and then also creating their plan and what the next steps are to get their dream job. So just wanted to make you familiar with that checklist. The other thing that I want to let you know is you can use other inventories in this process, and then what you do is you just glean criteria from the inventory or assessment and then use it to brainstorm possibilities, just like we're going to do with these. So it's totally fine to use StrengthsFinder or any of those others. These are the ones that I settled on that I like. And the very most important one is the Values in Action Inventory, or the VIA Survey of Character Strengths. So that is what we're going to go to first. And so you would just tell them to click on that. Oh, and I'll go back and say this. Usually what I do is I tell them, for sure, I'm going to want you to do these four inventories. You can do them as quickly or as slowly as you want to. When they're complete, email me the results. And then when we decide to, we'll go over the results of that inventory. Usually we can get through one inventory a session, so you only need to do at least one by the next session. The VIA and the CIRC definitely take a whole session. You probably will be able to do the desired work characteristics in the learning inventory in one session. So let's go over to the VIA survey of characteristics.
Donna, just a quick question.
Sure.
Are these assessments things that they can do online or in a Word document or something? Or do they have to print it off?
In some cases, they need to print it off.
Okay.
For the Values in Action Inventory, and I'll show you exactly where the links are.
Okay.
It's right on here. So everything you need is right on here, and you just lead them through and say, click on this, click on that.
Okay.
The Values in Action Inventory, they do take online, and there are instructions right here on how to do it. And so there's a little intro that describes it for them and also highlights the book Authentic Happiness, which ties very closely with this VIA Survey of Character Strengths. It was developed by Martin Seligman, who is the positive psychologist, the main first one. And a lot of the books you're seeing on happiness that are coming out are based on his work. Authentic Happiness is a bit technical. And so if I have like an avid reader, I'll suggest they read it. If they don't seem like the kind of person that's going to get into the data, I don't have them read it. But for you guys, I highly suggest you read it. It's great information about happiness. So you can tell them the instructions for taking the inventory is right here. What you're going to do is tell them that they do need to register in order to take the inventory and create a user ID. But there is no cost to taking the inventory. It is actually data that Martin Seligman is collecting and assessing. And so when they participate, they're actually participating in his research. Once they register, it will take them to a page to actually choose the values in action inventory. It's important to let them know that there are multiple inventories on this website and they do need to take the VIA Survey of Character Strengths. So sometimes I'll have a client send me the wrong inventory and I have to have them retake it. But I've got new instructions here and hopefully this will help them do a little bit better with that. Once they choose that, if they have any problems taking the survey, I do direct them to contact you for some support. Once they complete the survey, it returns their top five character strengths, which is what we will be working with. But I like to have them click on the button that says show all 24 character strengths and give me all of the strengths, and I'll show you why a little bit later. What I have them do is highlight the page, copy and paste it into a Word document, and email it to me. And this does let them know that it does take about 30 minutes in order to complete the VIA Survey of Character Strengths. Any questions? Okay.
I think this is, well, I want to take all the assessments just to see,
yes.
You know,
yes.
How they work and what are the results and things.
Yes, absolutely. I would really love all of you to take them. And you'll learn things about yourself. You'll learn some valuable information yourself, and you'll be able to be then applying the process. In order to take the survey, what they're going to do is click on this link right here, and it will take them to the University of Pennsylvania Authentic Happiness website, and they will need to register and give some demographic data. Once they've registered, it will take them to where they choose the VIA Survey of Character Strengths. They will take it and then follow the steps 4 through 6 on this page. And if they need to get back into the survey, there's a link here that gets them back, and they just log in. It'll take them right to where they can finish the survey. So, once they have taken the survey, we're focusing on the top five strengths. And by the way, this is what it looks like when it comes back. It doesn't have the yellow highlighting in it, and it doesn't have that gray in it, but this is what you should see when it comes back. Who's joined? Hello?
Hey, it's Barry. I'm running behind.
Okay, so glad you're here with us. I'm talking about the value.
I'll listen to the recording after. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So we're talking about the values in action survey of character strengths. This is what the results look like when they come back to you. It doesn't have this highlighted yellow, but I put this in here to draw your attention to the fact that we want to utilize their top five character strengths in our career matrix for criteria, as well as to utilize to identify possibilities. One thing we're going to have them do also is validate their results. And if you go down a little bit farther on the page here, where it says finding work that is meaningful, there's a couple of questions here for determining if those truly are their values, their top five values. And one of the questions is, does this value seem authentic to you? And the other question is, when you utilize these strengths, do you feel as if you're in flow, which means time is passing? So, for example, when we play the piano, if we really love it, time just flows and passes, and that's what you should feel when you're utilizing your values. So if I were to be working with a client and want to validate their values, I would say, when you are persevering, does that feel authentic to you? and do you feel in flow? With the next one, I would say, when you are being honest and authentic, does that feel authentic to you, and does that feel like you're in a sense of flow? The other thing I want to let you guys know is sometimes one of them will not feel as strong. And for me, caution is one of my strengths, and it doesn't feel as strong. If it doesn't feel as strong, what we want to do is utilize the sixth or seventh strength, and I usually offer them both. Yesterday I had someone, and I offered them their sixth, and then their seventh was teamwork, and they said, oh, teamwork really resonates for me, so that's the strength that I want to choose and utilize as my criteria. Any questions on that?
This is Chris. When we look at these different strengths, do we ask them to choose the top one that they feel the most authentic in, or do we say, do you want to use all of these strengths, your top five, let's say?
I usually use the top five.
Okay. So you put all those into the criteria.
Into the matrix, and let me show you where that is. Excellent question. So this is where you would put their top five strengths, right?
Okay.
Fields right here, and it's labeled values or VIA strengths inventory. And just so you know, when we do the CARESEE, we're going to choose five criteria, and they go here. When we do the desired work characteristics, there's a top five, and then these are left for criteria that you've identified as you've been interviewing them, and then I often use their learning style as well. You often will end up with more than 25 criteria. What I do is I put them here, and then I help them narrow down. Sometimes I let them have 22, 23, but if you get too many, it's going to be really watered down. And so I kind of try to get them steered to a top 21 criteria. And then we're going to be going into this criteria matrix in the next session, but I just wanted to show you where that goes in the matrix. So once they have gotten their top five, I'll show you that we are still on the VIA Survey of Character Strengths page. We're going to go part of the way down, and we're going to let them know that these are all of the 24 character strengths broken out into six interrelated categories. It's not that they really need to know that, but it will at least give them a feel that there are 24 strengths and that their strengths have been returned based on their rating of those strengths. And so when you take the values in action inventory, what it does is it helps you identify your top five values in action and then also the other 24 in order of preference. The way we utilize it in finding meaningful work, and the reason I use it for career exploration, is because Martin Seligman's work shows that if we utilize our top values in action, which are called our signature strengths, and it's related to right here, that if we utilize our signature strengths in our work, we will feel more fulfilled and happier. And the reason this is important, we all want to be happy in our work, but oftentimes when a client comes to us, they're coming to us for career exploration coaching because they're not happy in their work and they want to be happier and more fulfilled. So by utilizing this criteria and helping them see the positions that have more of their values in action, we're helping them choose work that will be more fulfilling. And I want you to flip over to page 16 in the materials, which does go through the values in action inventory and gives you some background and some more things to talk about with the client in the sections that are in blue. one thing to know is that if they can utilize some of their values in their work and some in their hobbies and avocation, that can create a fulfilling life. It's really hard to get all of your values in your work. I currently do have all my values in my work, and I feel very fulfilled by coaching. And I'm going to talk you through an example here. You probably will either want to use this example and say that I was a client in explaining this, or you will want to create your own example. But basically what I've done is look back at the work that I've done in the past and seen which ones had more of the values. And what I can see is that when I was utilizing more of my values, I felt more fulfilled and authentic. Any questions so far before I go into my example? Is this making sense?
This makes a lot of sense. I usually use StrengthFinders, and I see an awful lot of similarities in it. And since I thought that was really great, this looks even better.
Yeah, I made a choice early in this about 11 years ago. I did both, and I found that values in action was what I preferred, and that it really tied to happiness, where strengths ties to utilizing what you're good at. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when we do work that we're good at, we are not happy.
True.
I was just talking to a client yesterday that said, I'm really good at this, but I don't like doing it. And so that's why I chose this one, because my mission was to help people be happier. So great, great comment, Chris. Thank you. My example is this. My signature strengths are creativity, love of learning, social intelligence, capacity to love and be loved, and caution. Now, caution is the one that doesn't pull at me as much, so sometimes I replace that one. But it works in this example. And by the way, I often use this example when I'm selling career exploration coaching to help them understand our process and why it's important. So when I came out of college, I really was interested in writing, and I was an English major, and so I became a technical editor. And really, the only value that it utilized was caution, and even not very much of that. The plane crashed if I didn't put the paragraph in the, you know, the comma in the right place, but it really wasn't a lot of caution. But I had no learning, maybe just a little. I had very little social intelligence because I was sitting by myself at a desk all day, and the only time I used it was when I had to go tell someone that they did something wrong and they got mad at me. I was actually, instead of loved, I was hated, and so I just really was not utilizing, and there was no creativity at all. So when I look back on that, I hated that job. I felt dead. Later on, and by the way, I've had 20 careers, not just these five, but and I can look at all of them and analyze them. When I became a technical trainer, I had more creativity. I had more learning because I had to learn new things to teach them. I had a lot of social intelligence because I had to manage the classroom. I had some caution. I had a little bit of capacity to love and be loved, but not a lot. And actually, when I was a junior high teacher, I had a lot more of the ability to love and be loved and the social intelligence and not as much of the learning, but I did have creativity. So that's another example. When I became a curriculum designer and a trainer, I had a lot more creativity and a lot more love of learning, and I enjoyed that a lot more. From there, I became a total quality consultant, and I got the creativity, but I lost having very much social intelligence. I had some. I had a lot more love of learning, actually. And so I didn't, that was a fulfilling job. I did that for a lot of years, but it wasn't as fulfilling as coaching. And those of you that are on the call know that we get to use creativity. We get to learn about our clients all of the time. We use tons of social intelligence. We get a connection. I don't know if I would call it love, but we get a connection with our clients, and we also exercise caution. And in this work, I feel authentic and fulfilled. So that's my example. I hope you guys will either use this one or create your own example. But I think this helps people understand why we want to have our values taken into account when we choose our work. Any questions? Okay.
No, that's an excellent example.
Okay, perfect.
Hey, this is Barry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm on a computer. Just one comment I want to make. I heard you saying about the strengths. One of the things I learned is this concept of what fuels you. In other words, you could be really good in something. You could have a strength, but it doesn't fuel you. And so having said that, sometimes I'll coach people, ask people, okay, you got this strength, you know, how much juice does it give you? Because some people could be good at something, but it just doesn't, they don't like it.
Yes. And so that's why I think this cuts through that is, you know, does your strength then align with your value? And
right,
if it doesn't,
right.
You're not going to feel
that's
fulfilled.
That's probably what gives them, if it aligns with the value, it probably gives them juice.
Yeah, perfect. And you can get people to get to a place of identifying their values, but this cuts right to the chase and gets them right there. So that's why I love this tool.
Being that I'm very visual, I look at this as having been a programmer eons ago. Zeros and ones. Does
right.
this value give you do you get satisfaction in this one area? Yes, I do. It's a one. If you don't, it's a zero. So it's almost like they can do a one and a zero to see, okay, I've got three that are ones, I'm getting it, but there are two that I'm not.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Chris, when you do the criteria matrix with them, let's see, I've got the example up here. What we do is we don't even make it ones and zeros. We give it a criteria weight, and I'm going to be talking about that more, like I said, in the next session. But,
okay.
We give them 1, 3, 5, 7, or 9 to rate this because some of the criteria are more important than others.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes right into our criteria matrix. So, yeah, so it's not just a is it there or isn't it there. It's all the way to is it really high, 9, is it low, 3, or 1. So we'll be coming into that next time. So once these become criteria and they're added to the criteria matrix, the other piece that you're going to want to do is use it to brainstorm possibilities. And I've created a little sheet here that gives some examples of taking the signature strength and giving you examples of jobs or avocations that utilize them. Now, unfortunately, I have not been able to find a tool where someone has broken this out, so this is just me doing it. And by the way, if you have other examples to add to these, I would be happy to get them and add them in. But so what I do at this point is I say, I want you to look at each of your top 5 signature strengths. And so for me, one of them is creativity. And I want you to look at the positions that are here, write down any that are you want to include, or you can do this with them in a session too. And also, I want us to brainstorm beyond this. I've said that composer is something that's creative. Does that make you think of anything else that's creative? Songwriter, which is sort of similar but different. I've said that musician is creative, but, you know, does that make you think of an actor as being creative? So we're using these examples, but we're also brainstorming beyond them. We've got decorator here. You know, does that, you know, the house stager is one thing, but you could also be a decorator and you could be some other things as well. So this tool helps them brainstorm some more possibilities. And you can see that all of the characteristics are here. Any questions on how to utilize this or comments? Pretty straightforward.
I'm just quite impressed with your process.
Oh, thank you. I've worked very hard on it, so thank you very much. And I have done it with hundreds of people, and it really has helped all of them. So they're learning about themselves, and they're learning about possibilities. So thank you for that, Chris. Any other comments or questions? Okay. So we will go back to the VIA Character Strengths page. And the other way that you can utilize the VIA Character Strengths and really what it was designed for, in addition to this, is to help people understand that there are certain values or character strengths that are more associated with happiness than others. And this is not like some inventories like the Myers-Briggs that really doesn't change. You can change this one. And throughout your life, it actually changes a bit. And so the top five characteristics right here that are in red that most closely associate with happiness are gratitude, curiosity, zest, hope and optimism, and capacity to love and be loved. So you can actually help them work on and enhance these. And I know a lot of you have been exposed to the gratitude work in different books and articles, which, again, are really coming out of Martin Seligman's work, most of them. There are exercises in the book Authentic Happiness, and I do give a link right to it so that they can purchase the book right from here, go right to Amazon. I also have some exercises that help increase happiness on my website, and you can see these and get them working on some of these. And they usually tie to either, they usually either tie to increasing gratitude or increasing hope and optimism. And the other thing to know is that Martin Seligman's book, Learned Optimism, helps them build optimism, which is a strength that does increase happiness. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. You can read the book. You can ask me questions. If you guys all want a session on this Authentic Happiness book, I do, and I actually do have a cheat sheet for it, which I should put a link to here for the book, Authentic Happiness. And so that is work you can do. It's not career work, but some people, we offer it to them and they want to do it. There are also additional articles on the values in action, and then there's some questions here, and there is a download here that is this whole page if they want to have this whole page. And by the way, I did highlight in red the ones that are most closely associated with happiness. And by the way, gratitude is the very most top one. So that finishes the values in action. Any questions before I go back and take you to Kiersey? Or comments?
Okay. This is Barry. One quick question. Mm-hmm. I missed it because I didn't get on for the first 15 minutes. How do we or the customer do this Kiersey thing? Is there a link in there?
The Kiersey or the VIA?
Well, I'm not sure I get the difference.
Okay. There are two different inventories. Kiersey is the values in action inventory. And Barry, on the first of the call, I explain all that. But right at the top here gives the instructions, and this is the link right here to take them.
All perfect. Yeah. I'll look at it and I'll look at the recording. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, and let me know if you have any questions. Okay.
Awesome.
So now I'm taking you back to the Career Exploration client page. We have talked about this activity sheet. We've talked about the VIA character strengths. And now we're going to talk about Kiersey and the Myers-Briggs. And I'll let you know this. Myers-Briggs is the better version. It does cost money to take it. If you have a client that wants to take Myers-Briggs, I can set them up and I can let them know what that will cost. If they don't, they just want a free version, the Kiersey is between 90 and 95% as accurate as the Myers-Briggs, and so you can, there's a link here that they can take the Kiersey. I've been using the Kiersey for a lot of years. Don't tell the MBTI people that I do that. I just got certified this year in MBTI, and now I'm using both. But I've been using the Kiersey, the free version, all this time. So don't tell them. The instructions for the Kiersey are on page 25 of your training materials. And I'll just show you right here. Here's the link to take the Kiersey. And it basically they do print this out. They take the inventory and then they score it on this page and they give you their four letters, which is just like the MBTI letters. It's the same letters. If I would suggest you do this yourself, try scoring it. Some people have trouble scoring it. Most people can score it fine on their own. And so I would do this so that you know how to instruct them if they're having trouble scoring it. Sometimes two letters will come out close, which if you're familiar with MBTI is true as well. And I'm going to show you how to validate that. And so I'm just going to close this for now, but that is the place to take the tool. If they choose MBTI, they're going to come out with the same four letters just like there are here. This is the 16 types that they could come out as. If they need to, and by the way, the difference between the VIA, Survey of Character Strengths, and the CIRSE is that the VIA is giving you their values. The CIRSE or the Myers-Briggs is giving you their personality type. And I think it's important to take both of those into account. If they're an introvert and they're in sales, an introvert can do that work, but it's going to be draining for them. If they're an extrovert and they're sitting at a desk editing, which I am, in addition to it not matching my values, it did not match my personality either. As an extrovert, you need more stimulation, at least part of your day, rather than just looking at paper all day. So we do need to take into account their personality type. And what we do is we take some criteria from this and we actually have some examples of possibilities that tie to it as well. So for both the VIA and the CIRSE, you're getting criteria and you're getting possibilities. When they have completed that, all they need to do is email you the four letters that they came out with or the two sets of four letters. And this is a tool that can help you help them validate. Now, by the way, if they have two that are close, a lot of times what I'll do is just use both and have them look at both. So it's not the end of the world if they have two sets. But if you really want to help them hone in, you can use this tool. So for an example, if their N and their S were very close, you would have them print this out. You would have them look at the if they were an INFJ or an ISFJ down here, ISFJ, you would have them print it out. You would have them highlight in pink the words that really resonate with them, and you'd have them highlight in yellow the words that did not resonate with them. And so you would then see which one matched them more. Or you can just have them read it, and they'll probably say, oh, I really think INFJ matches me more, or I really feel like ISFJ matches me more. There are other validation tools that go along with the MBTI. Those of you who are certified can utilize those. And if you're having trouble with a client and really having trouble landing, I can send you some things. But since we're not really using and paying for MBTI, I feel like I can't really just put those out there on this website. Any questions about the validation tool? Does that make sense to you, you guys?
It does.
Okay. Ariana, does it make sense?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Okay. And Barry, that makes sense?
Yeah, totally. The one that we did for the client that I'm working with, was this the CIRSE, the other one?
The client that you're working with, you did the MBTI and you did the DISC.
Yeah. I just say briefly, he loves it. He's a pretty cerebral guy, pretty left-brain guy. The combination really gives us something to work on, and it really shows the two together really points him to not why he's the way he is, but how his nature is. And now he's beginning to get that, wow, even though he's that way, other people aren't that way. He's getting insight. So I just wanted to
Wonderful.
Send that along.
That's really exciting. And so he used the Myers-Briggs and the MBTI. The Myers-Briggs and the DISC. I don't use DISC in career exploration, but it's fantastic for leadership. So
Let me ask you one quick question, real specific. In the MTBI, you have the expert or introvert. In the DISC, you have the D or the other. He happens to be a D. I'm sorry. What was I going to say? He happens to be a D and an I. I'll forget it. I don't remember the question. There was something specific. I'll run it to you later. But
email me.
Yeah, there was an interesting correlation that I was making between one of the parameters in DISC and one of them in.
It's probably extrovert and D for driver. That's not always true, though, Barry. It can be true, and it's probably true more of the time. But sometimes you have an introvert who is a driver. So
yeah, okay, I think that was it.
They don't always correlate, but they do. They do more of the time, but not all of the time.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Donna, I did have a question, actually.
Okay.
You mentioned that the letters are the same between the MBTI and QC.
Yes.
But if you have a client that goes through the two systems to get their four-letter score, will they be different letter combinations, or will they be similar?
Most of the time they'll be very close, like 90% of the time. But I would only have them do one. I would only have to do Myers-Briggs or Kiersey. And the other thing I'll tell you is you do need to remember to ask if they've already taken MBTI, because then they don't need to take this, and we can go directly to C here. So ask them, have you taken it? If they have, they can just send you their letters. If they have not, then you're going to do Kiersey or MBTI.
Okay.
So once they have their four letters, what you're going to do is you're going to have them click, and you're going to click on whichever one of these matches them. So I'm going to do the ENFJ right now. And what this is it comes from the book Do What You Are. And I am sort of violating a little bit copyright here, but we're only going to use 3 pages of the book. We're not going to use all of the book. So depending on who it is. I'm doing a little bit wrong here, but I didn't want to make every single person buy the book, and I am just using a few pages of it. There's lots of developmental material here, so if you're doing leadership development with them, you want to utilize this as well, all the other pieces. But what I utilize for career exploration is this section right here, and then I'll show you the other sections. This section right here, preferred work environment, I am getting their criteria from here. It's going to give you more than 5. I try to drive them to 5 or less. And I shorten up what's said here. And the way I help them identify the criteria is I ask questions. So for this ENFJ person, what I would ask is it important that there is change and improvement in the work that you do? And if so, I've developed a criteria that says ability to improve things or ability to make change. If then I ask the next question, do you need to do work that is people-oriented? And they'll say yes or no. If it's yes, we'll include it. If it's no, not. Or they'll say, oh, it's not really that important to me. And so if they say that, I don't use it as a criteria. Next, I ask, do you need to be appreciated? And next, I would ask, do you need there to be, I would just shorten this one up to harmony, probably. Do you need to work in a harmonious environment? Do you need to have the opportunity for self-expression? Do you need to work in an environment that's decisive? Do you need to have order in the work that you do? So I kind of shorten them up, and I help them come up with 5 criteria that come from their personality. And that's the thing. If you just have the whole inventory and all of the results, it would be hard to figure out where to get some criteria from their personality. But this allows us to get some criteria that we apply to their work. Any questions here, or does this make sense? that make sense?
It does.
Everybody says yes, then. Nobody says nay. Okay, wonderful. So this is how we're going to get some criteria from the inventory. And I developed the career matrix, by the way, because I was frustrated because it seemed like we could only work with one inventory at a time. And I wanted to be able to bring it together and utilize multiple criteria at once to make the decision. So you'll see that more in the next session. But let me show you where I get the possibilities. What's wonderful about this book, Do What You Are, is that in each of these sections, they give jobs that people who have this personality report that they enjoy. So it's not a, like, you know, perfect correlation, but they have done studies and they've showed that people who have ENFJ like to be a communication director, they like journalism, they like being a recruiter or a fundraiser. So what I have them do is look through the jobs that are listed in this, and they're kind of listed throughout. So you'll see there's the communication group, there's the counseling group here, and so forth. I have them either tell me or write down the jobs that match their personality type. And I also help them tease out. So this comes in, you know, back to the teasing out. It says here career counselor. Right away I say coach, right, because it's so similar to counselor. Social worker. When I see clergy, that's not very often what they want to do, but I'll say that being a process improvement consultant was sort of like being a clergy because I was professing a message and getting people enrolled in the concept. So there's ways to tease out. You've got education here. You can put trainer in here as well as, you know, teacher, as we've talked about earlier. And so I just have them go through. There's one other section here in this one, business consulting. I have them note the ones that look interesting, and I have them tease out and support them in teasing out. What else does this make you think of? I've got sales here, but fundraiser is another one that matches up with this. And that's how I get the jobs from the KRC. Any questions? That makes sense?
It does.
Everybody say yes or no?
Yes.
Ariana, does it make sense?
Yes, it does. Sorry, I keep myself on mute.
You muted. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
okay.
Absolutely makes sense.
Barry, I'm going to just say you feel like it makes sense.
Yes,
I'll
sure.
show you one other. Okay, good. One other, there's how it breaks out in the population. Some people are curious about this, like how many people fall into each one. So I added that here. ISTJ and ISFJ are the most common. And then I also added a link to the MBTI website that gives a graphic. So if you have a very visual learner, this can be a great way to show them, you know, things that match up with their, and it actually does even break out some criteria in this one as well. So that's the KRC. I'm going to take you back to the career exploration page, and we're going to be able to go very quickly through desired career and business characteristics. So this is the third one that I would require them to do. It comes out into a PDF. This is something that I took multiple inventories of and put together. And basically what they do is they just choose their top five, and it goes on just to this one page. There's some questions back here that they can utilize as well. But basically they're just going to come back and say location, flexibility because I have a family, and being secure are some of my top three out of this. And they are going to go right into the career matrix into this section right here, along with some of the brainstorming that you've and interviewing that you've done. So that's a really easy one. I don't use this to identify possibilities. I just use it to identify criteria. Any questions on that one? Okay.
I have a question, but it's not about that. It's like I know where this is training. We're cramming a lot in here. It seems
okay,
to me,
yeah.
It's more of a comment. It seems to me like there is an enormous amount of information that could overwhelm the clients. Maybe the question is this something you're doing bits and pieces over time?
Yeah. So I do the values in action with them in one session. I do the CIRCE with them in one session. And I usually do the desired business characteristics and the learning inventory in one.
Cool. Thank you.
And then I start moving into some of these other activities. So let me take you to the learning style. They will have taken their learning style in their welcome document, unless for some reason we didn't do the welcome document in that engagement. If they have not taken it, this is the link to the inventory. I would suggest you guys take it. It's very quick. But what I've done is done some research and also added some things in for this one so that, you know, their learning style, if they're auditory, kinesthetic, or visual, I often add that to their inventory right here. They can make a decision whether they want to utilize that as a criteria or not. And then here are some jobs or careers that associate to each of the different types. And you can also brainstorm with them. Okay, so your auditory, you know, what are auditory jobs? Your visual, what are visual jobs? And this just gets them thinking. But yes, I believe that the career exploration process takes at least 9 coaching sessions with the client. I think I'm going to have time to go through a couple of more here. The pre-entrepreneurial quiz is for people who are thinking of starting a business. And sometimes we do have clients that are, instead of getting a job or career, what they want to do is start a business. This inventory can help them determine if they have the right personality for it. And then you can bring the results back and discuss them. The Barnes & Noble exercise is, there's instructions on how to do it here. It's very easy. You go to Barnes & Noble or a bookstore, you walk around, you write down what is interesting to you, and then we have areas of interest, and then we can brainstorm off of those areas of interest. I really always have them do the Ask Your Friends exercise, and that is just to ask their friends and colleagues what they see them doing. And sometimes other people have insight. Like, I know everybody always used to tell me I should be a therapist. I didn't want to do it. Coaching's very close to that, so it's kind of interesting that people would tell me that. They either email or ask, and then they email you those results, and you discuss them in the next session, and you add them into the possibilities list. There's some career exploration questions that I went ahead and gave them. And then let me hit really quickly on the Hall and Racek. The Hall and Racek is that quiz that most of us who are over 50 and in the U.S., Ariana, you may not be exposed to this, but it just returns an area of interest. And there's 5 areas of interest here: realistic, investigative, artistic, social, enterprising, and conventional. And once they have taken it, you can take them to this list, which breaks out based on their area of interest and gives a list of jobs that tie to that. And it's quite a long list. You get investigative, you get artistic, social, and you just have them note down if they do this. And I don't have everybody do it. I just have some people do it. They note down the jobs that tie to that. And this is another list that I found online that lists possibilities. So for Hall and Racek, all you're getting is possibilities. You're not getting criteria. And the only other thing I was going to tell you today is there is also a podcast here. If you have people that listen, they're auditory, that like to listen to podcasts, I would suggest that they download this. It's an interview that I did with my friend Dave Stachowiak, who has a great podcast, by the way, folks, that talks about how to reinvent your career. And so we have that resource as well. Next time we're going to talk about the career lists. We're going to talk about the career matrix. We're going to talk about career research. So those will be the 4 things that we go over in the next session. And what I want to do now is stop. And I told you I was going to talk a lot today. This one I just have to talk a lot. But let's go around the room and either say a question you have and I'll answer it, or say one thing you're taking away from today. And I'm going to start with Chris.
The thing that I'm taking away today is the step-by-step that we can go through. I do it myself, but nothing as process-oriented as this is, all the steps. And I think that's extremely important for a person to become much more self-aware of what they need.
Mm-hmm. And they'll choose something that'll make them happier.
Absolutely.
And the checklist A here, Barry, which you didn't see, this checklist right here gives them a checklist to go through on exactly what all the steps are in the process. And you can see it here. Barry, what question or comment on what you've
learned
today?
Just very comprehensive. Love the resources online. For sure I have to get my head wrapped around it, and I did it for 15 minutes. But I guess how full... full of good tools this is, and then I think it's just getting used to it and then working with some clients and then rock and roll.
Yes, and you're going to want to do the inventories yourself and walk yourself through the process, and that'll help as well.
Yeah, I do actually do have one question. Does the PRC or the particularly MDTI or even the DISC for that matter, you'd say, well, they could just send it to you. Does it change over time? If they took it a while ago, could it be
MBTI normally does not change except sometimes later in life. It is very solidly, you are a type and you stay. DISC, most likely they'll stay. VIA, it can change.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Ariana, comment or question?
Yes. So agree with what was said earlier, but the other piece that I really like that you threw out was even just saying that this structure can be conducted over the 9 sessions with a client, and going through and highlighting per session what inventory you did, I found that very helpful. So I'd be looking at expanding that as we go through the next 4 topics, how many sessions you would do the next 4 topics within. That would be helpful for me.
Okay, great. I will definitely, and if I don't address it, please bring it up. And, you know, I've gotten through it as fast as maybe 5 sessions, depending on the person. You know, we don't necessarily have to use every piece of this every time. And especially when we get to the career matrix, some people resonate with it and some don't. And some people only have 5 careers that they want to look at, and they don't want to look at anything else, so I go directly to the career matrix. So, you know, you're definitely customizing, but to really go through it fully, it's 9 sessions, and, you know, you might get through a little faster. And I'm trying to drive people as I talk to them about career exploration, and then you should also be, you know, as you're talking to them, saying, you know, it takes at least 7 to 9 sessions to get through this process and really do it well. And if you're kind of going back and forth between job search and career exploration, it makes it take longer. And that happens when somebody really needs to get out of their job right now, or they've lost a job, but they also want to find a job they're happy in. You kind of bounce back and forth between both processes. And we do have training coming up on job search as well. I want to be cognizant of the time. I do want to let you know you can utilize these materials with your clients as well as my clients for Glacier Point, and so feel free to email April to get a login for your client, and you can utilize the same process with them, and you get practice with it. And I am looking to promote and get more career exploration clients for us. And I just want to thank you guys for your great questions and your time, and for being patient with me talking a lot in this session. I won't be talking as much in the next session. So thank you so much. And I do need to say the closing code, and I'm remembering to do it.
Good. I was just going to ask.
Okay.
Thank you.
too.
And watch me on all of these. So the end code for this session is 999. So again, the end code is 999. So thanks, everybody, and I'll look forward to, we have discs coming up next because we needed to get ready for these disc debriefs, and then we'll be coming back to do career exploration the last session, and then we'll move on to job search. So thanks so much for your time, and I hope this is enriching and helpful to you, and I hope you had your mugs and you were drinking your happy drink today, too. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.